episode 3 of Pushing the Envelope. Today we're going to be focusing on Oberheim. Ridiculous.
How's it going, Dan?
Yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah? You know,
feeling the strain.
A little bit, eh?
Yeah, it's good. It's
only
good.
We have a bigger problem now.
Indeed we do.
We're sobering up.
I know.
Yeah.
It feels alien and wrong.
It's unfortunate, but we'll truck on. Today we're going to be focusing on Oberheim, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, like the previous two episodes, this is a company that was named after its founder. So the company was founded in 1973 by Tom Oberheim.
Cool.
And now in the early days, the company was all about producing electronic effects. So these were devices very similar to the Moger Fogger line that was developed by Bob Moog.
Sweet.
When he was working at Big Briar.
Cool.
One of these such instruments was the Synthesizer Expander Module.
Sounds big.
Yeah, the SEM. It was a little standalone module that had two oscillators in it. It had a filter, two envelope generators, and an LFO.
Cool.
So it had no keyboard, but it was designed so that you could use it as an add-on, chaining it with, you know, another monophonic synthesizer, sequencer, or something like that. And it did quite well for them. This was one of the first synthesizers. It was actually the first synthesizer that they developed, and it led up to the development of their polyphonic synthesizers, like the two voice, the four voice, and the eight voice.
Oh right, okay.
So those three were actually the first polyphonic synths that Oberheim came out with, and essentially all they did was they took a bunch of SEMs. So if it was the two voice, they took two SEMs and they basically stacked them together.
Sweet.
And then this created sort of a polyphonic effect, since each of the individual SEMs were just mono. Yeah. So eventually they got to the Oberheim OB-8, which is what we're featuring in this episode today.
Yeah. The one from Van Halen's Jump, no less.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I did not know. That's cool.
That's my favorite fact of the day.
So this one was launched in 1983. And it was a follow-up to the OBXA. They started a new line of synths called the OBX, following those first few polyphonic synths. The OB-8 featured 8-voice polyphony. It had an LFO, it had envelope generators, it had 2-pole and 4-pole filters, an arpeggiator, an 8-voice arpeggiator.
Nice.
And then this was also featured, it also featured a 61-note keyboard to help control all of the voices.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, but one of the things that made this different from previous synthesizers out in the market were it was fully programmable. So
oh, cool.
This
you
thing
can sequence it.
Exactly, like it had patches and stuff so that you could, once you've designed some of your sounds with the oscillators and stuff, you could save it to one of the patch bays.
I'm sure that was pretty revolutionary at the time.
Absolutely. This was even developed in a time before MIDI.
In a world before MIDI had even yet been invented.
And actually, Tom Oberheim was, apparently he had a role in the development of MIDI, so kind of makes sense that he was putting the same kind of technology into,
what a hero.
Into his instruments.
What an absolute hero.
Yeah, I'd say. So, this thing had the ability to save and recall the programs that you had created. As well, you were able to link the OB-8 to different devices in the line of in the Oberheim lineup. So,
cool.
You know, they had a drum machine, they had a sequencer and that sort of thing, and any of the other synths could all be connected. And this was like the central hub of all of it. Unfortunately, the OB-8, though, was discontinued in 1985.
Okay. Not 1984, the album featuring Jump by Van Halen.
No. It got its squeak just in there so that they could use it.
Oh, yeah. I bet they stacked up a fair few OB-8s before it was discontinued.
But and this was probably, you know, signaling the impending closure of the company.
They all seem to collapse at some point.
Yeah, it's true. No love for some synth companies.
Yeah.
But the company had to close its doors in 1986 because it was acquired by Gibson.
Cool.
But in 2009, Tom Oberheim launched a new website. So it's tomoberheim.com.
Cool.
And this now features his return to the synth business. He's focusing mainly on the SEM, that he the very first one that he developed.
Awesome.
And these are now a reissue that's developed in three flavors. So you can get one that's it's an SEM with a patch panel now. You know, back in the day, people were saying, you know, you can't really, it's not a patchable synth. All of the wiring was all hardwired inside.
Okay.
So now he's saying you can take that, all the internal connections are now outside, so it's fully patchable.
Wow.
You can get an SEM with a MIDI to CV converter. So now you can use MIDI.
Brilliant.
It converts to voltage, and you can control the analog synth that way.
Brilliant.
Or you can get the SEM Pro, which is basically a combination of both.
Wow. So yeah, so Oberheim, sort of still going strong, though it's not the same company. It's the same guy, the same genius guy.
Not entirely, but you know what? I looked at that thing earlier today, and I really want one of those. Dan, you know what this episode really needs right now?
I can't quite put my finger on it, Adam.
I really wish that we could hear an OB-8.
Oh, that's not a problem.
No?
I know a guy.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, listen to this.
Oberheim.
Sick.
Okay, Peter, we keep calling upon you as one of our main resources.
And yet every time you come, I'm always really drunk drinking wine.
It's eerie.
And I seem to get drunker and drunker.
It's... I can't explain that. Anyway, Peter, along with all your other awesome vintage synths, which you seem to have a lot of, by the way, you've got one of the Oberheim synths. What's this one?
This one's the OB-8.
Cool. So this is this comes out of all the Oberheim like family, and this is one of the early polyphonic synths. That's right, right? Come on, help me out.
Yeah, it's sort of it's early mid. It's part of an early series. So if my knowledge serves correct, there is the OBX, the OBXA, and then the OB-8, and
cool.
They're all more or less the same.
Right.
The OBX, I believe, was four voices of polyphony, and then the OBXA, you could upgrade to eight, and then the OB-8
just comes with
stock
eight.
With eight. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. So you can play eight notes at a time at this point. That sounds
yes.
like eight to me. Cool. So like, it sounds pretty amazing. You end up using this quite a lot on your stuff.
Lately I've been using it a lot more. I didn't use it when I first got it. Basically, I got it because I felt like I had my monosynth stuff covered. I felt like I should have one good old analog polysynth. And I was actually aiming for a Jupiter, but then this showed up. A Roland Jupiter 6 was my original goal,
cool.
But this showed up. And these are kind of a little rarer than the 6s, and I played and I thought, oh, that's cool. I was always sort of not so into polysynths because no matter what you play on them, it always sounds really like cheesy 80s. But I've slowly been, I guess I've just been embracing the 80s lately and using it more.
I mean, yeah, that's fair enough.
So lately I've been using it a lot more. I mean, it's, you know, it is really hard to play it without it sounding super 80s.
But I mean, you could use that to your advantage. I mean, you're doing commercials, you're selling an 80s product, you're out there selling Old Spice.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so like this, Gary, you can call me out if I'm wrong. This is the keyboard. I mean, not this exact one, but this is the model of keyboard that Van Halen used on Jump, right?
I think it was one of the OB series. Is either, you know, it was probably an OBXA or an OB-8, because I don't think you can play those funky chords with the OB.
Those chords are funky.
I think
those chords be funky.
You get into some funny ones there. Then I think there were more than four notes. So it was probably this or an OBXA.
It's pretty wild.
And it was one of the Oberheims. I'm pretty sure it was this one.
Cool. And this has like a digital kind of recall thing on the front, right? Where you can recall different patches.
Yeah, for sure. So it's when this came out, it would have been competing with the Prophet 5 and the Jupiter 6. And by the time they'd sort of figured out their polyphonics, I guess, they had started getting into digital memory. So this is one of the first analog synths or it was part of the early series of analog synths that you could actually write and record your patches.
That's pretty wild. So you can save patches and recall them at any given whenever. That's pretty wild.
Totally.
So what are your patches? What are the default patches that you've got on yours?
I've sort of been making some fun patches. Most of them, like, part of when I got it, I was still adjusting to the 80s thing, so I was making a lot of monophonic patches.
Right.
So I think I made a lot of sort of bassy patches.
That just sound like MIDI mugs anyway.
But then,
yeah, man.
They were mostly known, like, I think the Roland's were known more for their stringy kind of patches, and the Oberheim was known a bit more for its sort of brash or brass style stuff.
It's pretty wild.
Totally.
Sounds kind of like, well, I mean, everything kind of sounds like the Human League, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah, I've got no problems with that. Okay, so, like, the OB-8 has got MIDI, right? This has got some wild, like, MIDI features which weren't really standard at the time, right?
Yeah, well, they weren't. They're definitely not wild. Basically, it just has note, basic note MIDI, so note on and note off.
Oh, so like none of that crazy velocity.
No, none of that. You can't, like, not even the modder pitch wheel send MIDI. But yeah, this was like a super, super early MIDI, MIDI synth. This one actually, when it was first released, it was, I think it didn't even have MIDI, and it was original. It was a retrofit. Mine,
oh, whoa.
I think, is a slightly sort of the tail end of its release, so it actually it has built-in MIDI. But yeah, it's like it's basic at best, but it's still easier than using MIDI to CV converters, so that's cool.
I don't know what that means. It sounds...
It's a box that turns digital sounds into electricity.
Well, sounds complicated, so this, you just plug stuff in, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Give me a little OB-8, OB-1.
You didn't get to make your OB joke yet.
I'm trying to fit it in.
So yeah, I don't know. So the story with the OB-8 is it's got two oscillators. Technically, it has two LFOs. One of them's a pain in the ass to access because it's sort of under this weird menu. Two ADSRs and an arpeggiator.
Choral is a word. Choral.
Choral is a
choral
word.
Choral is a word. There's no I in choral.
Fish.
There's no I in team, Peter.
There's a me.
Anyway. Again, Peter Chapman, you've been a wonderful resource. Thank you so much for helping us out. And Peter Chapman with the OB-8. Thank you.
You don't seem very impressed.
I'm drunk. I'm always impressed. I just don't show it.
No, I don't actually.
There it is. Thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed our episode on Oberheim. And thanks again to Peter Chapman for providing us with some excellent sounds and some great interviews. Check him out at peterchapman.ca. One love, Peter. Just one. And be sure to check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/pushingtheadsr. Thanks again. This is Adam Ping signing out. Oberheim.